Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 15. Trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
He turned the water to blood. He turned the water to blood. Everybody's like, whoa, dude, this is terrible. Then their magicians turned water to blood, so the Pharaoh hardened his heart. What's happening is God is hardening the hearts of those who will not believe by giving them a little dose of it. Because here in the trumpets, you have the sun darkened for a third of the day. You know what's going to happen in the bowl judgments? It's going to scorch men. It's going to burn them. They can't even go outside. Now, the lost man is in a world of hurt when that happens. And in fact, in chapter 7, we find that even the believers are going to be scorched by that fire and be hungry and thirsty and crying. Because they didn't get saved before the rapture. They put it off. The Bible says there's going to be a third of the sun. Then the Bible says then there are three woes. You know, there's three threes everywhere. You got a third of the trees, third of the seas, third of the fountains, third of the sun. And three woes. And the Bible talks about there being an upheaval of demonic activity. That literally there's going to be an opening of an abyss. And demons are going to come in and torment men for 7 months. The worst of the worst. These are the ones that were in chains. These are the ones that were chained because they didn't keep their proper estate back in Genesis chapter 6. They're going to be let loose and they're going to be up close and personal with the people who thought was their friends and allies. They thought they were their friends and allies. And they're going to be real. They're going to be on site because God's raptured out His people. He's raptured out His Holy Spirit's restraining power, but He's still here working because people are getting saved. But those demons are going to come out. And they're going to have like a scorpion-type sting. They're going to torment men. Men are going to seek death and not be able to find it. And then there's going to be devastation. In reflecting on what's going on with these angels that were loosed from the Euphrates River, it occurs to me that that's the lifeline of the entire Middle East out there. They all depend on the Euphrates for their water, at least the ones that abut to it. And what's going to happen is you're going to have Muslims fighting Muslims. It very well could be that they pretty much neutralized the threat of Islam by killing each other because they all want water. You know, when you don't have food and water, you don't have anything. You need to get water. And if they're shutting it down or somehow restricting it, it could be that they are talking about when it talks about a war over the water. Because water is mentioned in the war and a lot of people get dead. So I say to you, God's telegraphing. And God was telegraphing what once was, as I say, water to blood. Hail and fire came down and it burnt the green grass and all a third of the trees. That's what he did in Egypt. He hail and fire. It killed a lot of animals and it killed the vegetation of Egypt. Wiped out Egypt economically. And then God tells us that this is what happened before. And he telegraphs. And then what he's saying is, it's going to happen again. Because it is going to happen again. In the bowl judgments, he's going to ramp all the things you just saw a glimmer of up to a fever pitch, to the place where there will be no resisting his movement at that time. I want you to put a note somewhere in your Bible, maybe on the back of your bulletin to place it somewhere or mark it later. But Jeremiah chapter 16 and verses 14 and 15 says, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But it will be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from the lands whither he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Do you realize what he just said? He just said that was the big deal in the Old Testament. He said that's going to pale in comparison to what I'm doing now. I'm going to make a valley of dry bones live. He did that in 1948. There's an army there. We just saw the Iron Dome do all of its powerful work. And when this lady, Jen Psaki, who is the press secretary, what would happen with her is they asked her, what do you think about the Abrahamic Accord, the protection of Israel? What do you think about that? Are we going to maintain that? And she said it was a failed program from the beginning. Seven Islamic nations came, in fact, including one that was completely against Israel for the entire duration from 48 to present. They all got online to begin to trade and interact and fly to and from Israel. This thing was hugely successful. Some noted it as the deal of the century, but that is now lying in ruins, which we would anticipate if we read Daniel chapter 9. We would anticipate some kind of a huge and significant covenant with Israel would be
brought down somehow.
Do you know there's been a lot of covenants with Israel through the years? But what we now have is we have Israel, and it's got a covenant that was so powerful that their mortal enemies came around. This is unique. And now it's in ruins. And what we have is the potential for it to be brought back. And the Bible says the prince that shall come, Antichrist, the Antichrist, when he comes, will confirm the covenant with many for 7 years. There's your 7-year tribulation. See, the Bible is very specific. And so we see that God is going to make it such that he's going to bring these people back to their land. He did that. Check. He's going to bless them. Check. These people are making the streams break forth in the desert. They've got trees. They've learned how to desalinate water in an affordable way. I mean, that's huge. They've got an iron dome. You can throw thousands of missiles at them and they'll knock down all the ones that are going to hit populated areas. Why? Because that residue of God's spirit's on that people. They don't do everything right. They're not awake yet. God hasn't brought them home to himself yet. They're just showing a residue of his spirit. So when they start getting bomb shot at them, you need to sit up straight and pay attention. What's going on over there? Because something's going on. God doesn't let anybody touch the apple of his eye without somehow stepping in when he must. And that will be happening in the days to come at the breakneck moment. Chapter 16 brings us the bowl judgments. But in chapter 14 and 15, he gives us the run-in. Chapter 14 started with three angelic messengers. In chapter 14, I'm talking angels breaking every protocol. They're preaching to the entire world and they're heard. We can do that through devices. We can do that through television and telecommunication. Text messages on your phone blowing up. Can you imagine being in some sort of a burnout basement somewhere because the world's on fire and crazy and it's getting really deep and dark and miserable and you've lost a number of loved ones and you're sitting there crying in tears and suddenly your phone chirps. You look at it and it says, trust in Jesus. Fear God. Fear God, the creator of all things. Worship him. Give glory to him. And then another chirp comes about an hour later and it says, listen, what you need to do is you need to recognize Babylon is fallen. This world system, it's fallen. And then it chirps another hour and it says, wait a minute. Can you not take the mark? But you take the mark, you will burn in the lake of fire. This is angels preaching. However they do it, just postulating on that device could get it to you. Even a dead battery he could revive and make it such. But you will get that message because it's an angel preaching to the entire world. Three messages. Do you realize how amazing God is? That at that hour, he breaks through and he says, I don't want you to perish. We read about the hellfire where they won't have rest day or night and tormented forever and ever. We read about that. We miss the fact that he just sent three angels breaking all protocols to run through and say, hey, hey, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Three angels breaking protocol, preaching the everlasting gospel, giving you hell, literally, just like Jesus did. He told them about hell. More than any other person in the New Testament, Jesus spoke about hell. Isn't that powerful? Just think about that. And he's going to break protocol in the tribulation. He's going to call your loved ones who maybe don't know Jesus, who are still here. He's still going to give them another chance. Pray for them. Pray for them now. Try to witness if you can. Pray for them. Because maybe they'll get saved on the next detachment. You know, when Israel was taken into Babylonian captivity, there were three deportations. You know, so there's a possibility. But if they wait, it's not going to be pretty. What we see is in this interlude between chapter 8 and 16, there was a wonder in heaven. And chapter 15 starts with another sign. It's the same word for wonder that is used, is translated wonder. In verse 1 of chapter 15, it says, and I saw another sign or another wonder. Now, what were the first two? The first two were that woman. She had a crown with 12 stars and moon and the sun and all this. And it was a picture of what Abraham was told about by Joseph. Joseph had a dream that the stars and the sun, moon, they were going to bow down to him. And he says, you're going to tell me your mom and I are going to bow down? It was that connective that shows us that it's about Israel. He saw a wonder in heaven and it was a wonder in the sky and it was a woman and it was Israel. He said, I saw the woman. And this woman was a wonder because she had a baby. And then I saw another wonder. And what was it? It was a great dragon. Red dragon. Bloodthirsty dragon. And he wanted to destroy the man-child that was to be born. But this is the third wonder. He said, I saw another wonder, we could say, in heaven. Great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. When you see these particular angels come forward, seven in number, the number seven comes up again and again with these seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. Seven is the number of completion. 7 days the earth was created, and on that seventh day God rested. It's all the number of completion. And what we're being told here is that this is a marvel. And the reason they're a wonder largely is because God is doing His strange work, His mysterious work, and that is the work of judgment. You know, a lot of people think of God in the things that hit their psyche. Back when humans had a psyche that still was tender, they could not help but read through the Bible and find that earthquakes swallowing up Korah and his cohorts in rebellious fervor, the first earthquake ever recorded, swallowed up Korah for rebellion. And they think, boy, that's a scary God. They see him on top of Mount Sinai, and God said, don't let any of the animals or any of the people come around the foot of the mountain. And if they are, then pierce them through with the spear. Couldn't even touch the mountain. Moses came down with his face aglow, and they said, you got to cover your face. It's totally terrifying, the people. And I say to you that they thought this is God, and in a more tender time, they would really react to those biblical narratives, those histories. They would see things like God setting the fiery serpents through the midst of the crowd. They'd see the plague go through the crowd, only stopped when they'd look at a serpent and believe on that bronze serpent. They'd look and they'd say, you know, if you look, you'll live. And they'd look and they'd believe, and then it would stop. They would see the people of Israel being wiped out by the enemy when they were bad at Kadesh Barnea and sent away from the promised land to wander around for 40 years. Boy, God's mean. God's not mean. God is not mean. God means what He says. He says, if you're obedient, you will love me. If you're not obedient, you won't like me so much. Because I'm just trying to help you get through without hurting anybody. Do you realize that those Ten Commandments are all about not hurting anybody, including yourself? They're protective, not prohibitive. You steal something from somebody, they might shoot you. You kill somebody, you're going to have to live with that for the rest of your life. Those are the things that happen. He says, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. All of these things, you're going to mess everything up. He's not being prohibitive, he's being protective. But they wouldn't listen. They kept going after all the other gods. Moses is up getting the Ten Commandments. They're down here having they rose up to play in nakedness. I just want to keep it as clean as I can. It was awful. God broke forth. And then you think, God's mean. God's not mean. God is awesome. He's true. He's good. He's not mean. He knows what He wants. He knows what we need. He knows what you're made for and how you will flourish and how you will be altogether able to thrive. And if you do it His way, it'll be good. He said, I am the way. I am the way. No, there were seven angels. This was unique. This was a wonder in heaven. Seven angels with God's wrath to pour out deliberately, directly on the entire world? Yeah. Because time's up. Time's up. You know, when we were kids, we didn't get a timeout. We got time's up. You know, that's what we got. Time's up. You didn't get count of three. Get cracked on the head and think, what hit me? You know, that's, I don't know. God's saying now, time's up, because this is not the way He usually does. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.